when you put me down and act rude. I don't walk out the door, I just stand there listening like an old fool will. Cause I'm happy on the grill. Happy on the grill.
Everybody, we're happy on the grill again.
Ow!
Okay, I don't know who that was, but this is Marco Pollo testing 1, 2, 3. Hold on, we might have a bit of a technical difficulty.
I think we're fine.
Off to a start.
Hold on just a second. This is Marco Pollo, and this is the Culinaires Radio Hour. I'm here with Veal Parmstrong. And also the lost Culinaire. He's so lost, I don't even remember his Culinaire's name. What's your Culinaire's
name? Beef Erickson? You don't remember the best name?
Beef Erickson is in the house. But I don't want to focus too much on beef because we got a very,
very,
very special guest
very
today.
Special.
Beef, take a seat. Veal, you want to tell us who our special guest is?
We have a very special. Did we just say she was special? She's very special. And she's our guest. And her name is Jessica Coslow.
Woo! Jessica Coslow, squirrel.
I feel like I need my own Culinaire's name.
You 100% need your own Culinaire's name.
Do you know that I grew up being called coleslaw? Can that have something to do with it?
Oh my God, that's perfect. Well, there's a formula to the name.
Okay.
The formula is an explorer plus a food. Coleslaw, maybe we just break all the rules and you're just coleslaw.
Just for tonight.
Well, I did do a little podcast research. I know that in some circles you're known as the Claws.
I've never heard that before, but...
Oh, did I get that wrong? Hold it. What is your nickname?
Cause. The Cause.
Oh, the Cause. Oh, okay. I turned it into the Claws.
The Claws.
I like that, too.
I like
your
that
new
too.
One?
I got it. Christopher Coleslaw.
Like for Columbus? Christopher? Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, we go with that. Christopher, for now, Christopher Coleslaw. It's a stretch. I'm not going to say it's elegant.
Do I look like Christopher Coleslaw?
All right, well, we got bigger fish to fry than just our silly names, even though that is our trademark and what we're known by. All right, well, we had a delicious dinner earlier today. I thought we had a pretty good time. In Silver Lake, we went to, I'm not even going to try and pronounce the restaurant's name. I'm
going to ask Jessica. Meze.
Meze.
It doesn't have any vowels.
It's M-H-Z-H.
And that's kind of your thing, no vowels.
I have
the squirrel
vowel.
Has one vowel.
I
okay.
have one vowel.
Yeah.
Not about no vowels.
She dropped a consonant. Mm.
Blink response to tonight's meal.
Wait, so are you making fun of our guests, the name of a restaurant? I mean, that's kind of, what's going on there?
No, I love the name of the restaurant.
It's like a Tumblr, Twitter, that sort of thing? Like it's.
Oh, yeah, it should be like an internet. Like it should be .com.
I always think there's no vowel, and I say it really quick, squirrel. Like one syllable.
I'm going to check and see if Meze is actually a website right now.
Let's talk a little bit about squirrel, though, about like what your...
So this is what happened last time. We skipped the meal. We skipped right over dinner every time.
Okay, all right.
We'll go back.
We'll go back to the meal.
We have to be disciplined. If we're known for our discipline, and if we don't stick to that, then what's our brand?
Good point.
What did we have, Lane?
We had a little Cote de Boeuf. We had a little lamb ragu. We had a little cauliflower shawarma. What didn't we have?
We had some peas, and we had some...
beet greens and some beets.
The beet greens were delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never had beet greens before.
Now, we're in a troubled... This is a troubled space. This was Purgatory Pizza before, which I thought was quite good. Didn't quite last. Before, that was empty for a while.
So you went there. You went to Purgatory, because I always drove by and was like, that is a place I do not want to be in.
I went with my ex brought home a pizza from there, and she actually had forgotten her wallet, and they gave her the pizza for free, an IOU.
That's when it doesn't exist anymore.
That might be the problem. And if you notice, they serve the meals on little cardboard pizza plates.
Tonight, yes. Tonight. I think they ended up with those pizza plates as part of taking over the restaurant. All the plates at Meze, they have like their own individual plates, but the dishes themselves are served on basically the cardboard rounds that pizzas come on.
I don't think you're actually supposed to pronounce the name of the restaurant, is why the spelling is like that. I think it's one of those things where it's like, there were a lot of bands at South by Southwest this year that had these like impossible to pronounce, like Power Bottom. Do you know that band?
No.
Ugh, these guys are so old. They don't know anything.
Do they have any vowels in the name?
No, it's spelled like P-W-R.
Oh, you're talking about Pur Burum.
Yeah. Anyway, so Jessica, what happened to your vowels?
What do you mean, what happened to my vowels?
In squirrel.
No, she dropped a U.
Oh, yeah. I dropped a U. There's
is that
an E.
Is that a vowel?
There's also an E.
I'm about to drop you.
It's a girl squirreling away, so that's why.
I thought the meal was great.
So cute.
Yeah.
I'd give it a big thumbs up. I want people to go. I don't want this place to disappear like Purgatory Pizza.
Yeah, it was really delicious.
What was the first thing that landed? Oh, the frisée. Mm-hmm. That was a star, I thought. Frisée with what was on it?
It was like Duca. And cheddar, and it was super simple, but it was just super tasty.
Real yummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's not similar to the places you typically go, but...
Who, you mean us, the three of us?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, okay, right. Because
he's referring to the fact that we usually really push the culinary boundaries. Veal, where were we going to go tonight?
You want to see how your bowels feel the next day. I think that's like...
You probably don't know this, but I'm the most sensitive stomached of the culinaries, really? Which makes me
everyone
the most adventurous of the culinaries.
Everyone knows this.
You're like a...
This was a blessing in disguise.
Digestion athlete. You try and see how you do.
Anyone with a passing interest in the culinaries is well aware of Duncan's gastrointestinal distress.
I actually would say they don't, because I don't want to get too personal on the mics, but I did have an incident last night, if someone's listening, where a certain someone left my house because I was had a tummy ache and I was going to be sick. And I thought they believed me, but they thought it was my commitment of phobia. They didn't know about my food phobia.
Does she listen to this show?
How do you know it's a woman?
Let's all just back up. Lane, we have a rule on the show where when we refer to someone without a name, that kind of sets the tone for how we're going to keep talking about
you
that person.
You literally were chanting at a guest in episode 2. Name names. Name names. And now here we are talking about not naming names.
What was it? What set you off? What caused these tummy problems last night? Was something specific?
Well, no, we were just discussing it that night. But I went to, I'll name the restaurant. I never go there, but Palermo in Los Feliz, and I ate a lot of calamari and had a lot of red wine after seeing Get Out.
Did you go to Palermo?
Were you guys getting ready to go to your junior prom right afterwards?
It was a blink response restaurant.
Did you go back in time to 2008 and you guys were going to hit the derby after?
Let's get this interview back on track. Now, I live adjacent to Virgil Village, and as everyone knows, that's where Squirrel is. It's the anchor of the neighborhood. So I always wonder, it's not the anchor of the neighborhood, that's just what I like to call it.
Okay, I appreciate
it. I was wondering.
I thought Cha-Cha-Cha was the anchor of the neighborhood, but was pummeled, so I guess Squirrel has taken over.
Small Cutter might be the anchor.
That's true.
You're the day anchor, and Small Cutter's the night anchor.
We've got it 24 hours. We're covered.
But I wondered how much of the neighborhood that you're in informs the restaurant, if anything. Like, if you hadn't opened this restaurant on the west side or in Atwater Village, do you think it would be a lot different? Was your vision for the restaurant the same going into it once you knew the space you were going to fill?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I don't live that far away either. I'm in Silver Lake, and it takes me 7 minutes to get there by car, and I always wanted a neighborhood restaurant, and I really wanted it to be a place that people felt like they could go to as their like daytime cheers.
What's your exact address? How much
my
money
home address? Yes. He's been trying to ask this all night long, by the way, not coming out. But with Squirrel, I think because it's in Virgil Village and it is adjacent to Silver Lake and it's open during the day, it has to be not only affordable, but friendly and also delicious. Yeah, and I guess that's what I was hoping for, and I think so it happens in Silver Lake.
Pick two of those three things.
What do you mean?
Right, isn't that a thing like affordable?
It's all of those things. If you haven't been to Squirrel, for some of our more international listeners, go. Hop on a plane, fly into LAX, get an Uber.
You're coming from Morocco.
Go. All right, that was just part A of this question. Part B is, with the neighborhood changing, and I like to think I've eaten in a lot of places on Virgil Village, Amalia's is closing or torn down. Cha-Cha-Cha's is closed down.
Burned down. Amalia's burned down. Cha-Cha-Cha was bulldozed. Mm-hmm. What do we have left?
There was the chicken and donut place that closed down.
That's gone, and now that's Trejo's Tacos prep kitchen.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Danny Trejo's.
You don't need to tell me who Trejo is. Is anyone who knows my Facebook avatar knows. Interesting. So let me ask you this. How has the restaurant changed since you've been there?
I mean, I started it as a jam company. So I took the place because I found it on Craigslist. Cost me $10,000 to take over the lease from Gus's Lunchbox, and when I got it, it had a cockroach on the A that was on the door. And shit, pardon me. Can I say a bad word?
You can say anything you want on
Craigslist. Wow, I'm sorry. And drippings coming off of the sign. So there was a mom, shit drippings, and a baby cockroach on the A, and I was like, I will take it. So
swear
it's changed a lot.
As much as you want, but you cannot talk about Gus's Lunchbox on here.
Have you been to Gus's Lunchbox?
Who hasn't?
I do remember the sign, but did it move after that someplace else? Gus's Lunchbox?
Gus's okay. Lunchbox exists now next to 356 in a truck and has
it's
a
right
little
outside
bit of
Frogtown.
Yes.
Yeah.
You live right next to Gus's.
That's why I got all defensive.
And it's been 5 minutes and Lane's brought the conversation back to Frogtown.
So it's changed a lot since I moved in. When I took it because I was like, oh, no one needs to actually come to Virgil Village. I'm using it as a place to make jam and have classes about jam, not as an open door. And then I was like, oh, you know what? I actually need to evolve it, but who's going to come to Virgil Village? And now it's how do we evolve the neighborhood?
Well, you know what they're saying, Virgil's the new Sunset.
No one is saying
no
that.
One says
Who
that.
Is saying
I've
that?
Been saying
people that own in the area.
Is that
some people on the Virgil Village Facebook group have been posting that relentlessly.
Yeah.
There is the yoga studio Rome opening up. I've got high hopes for it. I can walk there. I might get into yoga. That's what I was told.
But have you been into this building that Rome is going in off of Hoover? It was for lease at some point, and actually the building was for sale. So I went to go look at it, and it turns out that it was a heroin den before Rome. And before it was a heroin den, it was a laundromat, so whatever. But we did a tour of the heroin den, and my boyfriend is a district attorney, and it felt like a crime scene. Like, the needles were still around. The fridge was open, and there was, Yoshinoya, bowls in there that were half-eaten from, a month ago.
The original bowl, actually, is Yoshinoya.
Exactly, yeah. And that's where, really, I got all of my inspiration to start Squirrel. There's a lot of thumbs up.
You heard it here first.
Oh, my God, I never thought about it, but
oh my God,
Yoshinoya.
Food Twitter is lighting up right now.
Anyway, so that place has a lot of promise. There's a lot of Palo Santo that needs to be burned in that area.
Okay, yeah, so Squirrel is not going so well, is what it sounds like. It's not been a success. What do you got burning on the future? What you got something planned for the future? Because, you know, Squirrel is...
You were stepping into a metaphor, and then you just abandoned it.
I don't know what I was going to.
What's burning on the future stove?
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I was trying to do a
future
stuff. Awkward
trip. There's your restaurant, future stuff.
Talk about because at dinner tonight, the lovely dinner we were having earlier, the nice thing about the dinner is not that we just get to, you know, quaff some nice wine and eat some delicious food, but we also get to spend a little QT with our guests and talk to them about, you know, food and fun and what's going on in their lives. And you were telling us about your plans for October. Very exciting.
Yeah. You know, I guess there's two things. One is that I have a new restaurant opening on the west side.
Whoa, hello, you heard it here first. Did they hear it here first?
No, they didn't hear it here first, but
just
maybe,
lie to Duncan and tell
maybe
him that he got
in this food. Hour we can figure out a name for the restaurant,
yes.
And then we'll hear it here first.
Yes.
So there's that.
And if anybody out there, I say we open up the lines. Call on in. If you have a suggestion, call in. Yeah,
if you want to tweet one in, Snapchat one in, Graham one in.
If you would like my mom to name the restaurant for you, if she's listening to the show.
Please, anyone.
That's who's listening is my mom. So.
Well, I should say we are up on iTunes now. Good job, Lane.
Plug that. How do they find it on iTunes?
Let's save the plugs for the ends, guys.
Okay. I weave them in, but sure.
Oh, boy.
Right. Anyway, so yeah, I have a place on the west side opening, but I also next year will.
But what's the sort of idea behind the new place? Like, is it going to be very similar to Squirrel mm-hmm. Squirrel 2.0, or
I mean,
are you going in a whole different direction?
It's Squirrel 2.0, but in a different direction. Does that make sense? So
no.
there's a restaurant. It's like 110 seats, dinner, really nice, good place to be, good vibe. And then there's an all-day kind of part component to it as well. So there's a takeaway.
I hate to sort of put you on the spot. I'm a huge fan of your food, though. But how would you sort of, like, define, like, what your sort of cuisine or what your sort of flavors are that, I don't know, that you've got going in Squirrel? Or if you want to talk more about what you've got in the new place.
Well, if we're talking about Squirrel, I think it's... the overarching theme is that it's food that is it's California to its core, based on the ingredient, based on technique, and it's always things that seem familiar, but at some degree very different. So whether it's a rice bowl or a toast or a dish, like it's things that we know, but somehow it's developed in a way where you've never had it before. And we were talking about this earlier tonight where we're like, okay, so at some point a banh mi existed, and then it's become a thing that you see banh mis everywhere. And it's, well, we like the idea, but maybe it's like an ingredient in there that we use somewhere else. It's not like the actual form of banh mi. So it's about taking technique and flavors and dishes that we've had all over the world and turning into something.
Pickled carrots and beef and jalapenos or something.
So it's hard to describe what the food is, because I feel as if it's breakfast and lunch at Squirrel, and it's food that feels very comforting and kind of like you know what it is, but you've never had it before. And then at the new restaurant, it's more, I don't know.
You know, I love that you bring up banh mi, though, because I think banh mi sort of epitomizes, and this is like the sort of cliche food thing to talk about with Los Angeles, is fusion, you know, where it's like you have... the French colonists living in Vietnam, and then you get the banh mi come as a result with the French baguette and everything. One of my favorite Los Angeles fusions is the Korean taco, you know, and like that I think is all sort of like the big sort of like, you know, thing from like 10 years ago. But Los Angeles is such a great food city, and I think that's one of the great things that culinaries like to go out and explore is sort of like these interesting fusions. I don't know.
Well, I think with LA dining, or just in general, like when you think about France, or you think about Israel, or you think about places all over the world, a lot of times it's all about the history of that food culture. But in LA, we don't necessarily have it. You know, we have Cobb salad, we have a steak from Musso and Frank's, and a martini with a side cart. But like, do we have like real, true, iconic LA food? And that's what makes it so exciting, is that we're actually continuing to develop it, and it's really, There are no rules. We get to make those rules up as we go along.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
And I want to get in the time machine and go back 4 years.
Okay.
You're opening up Squirrel. You self-financed it.
You know way too much about me.
Big risk. I know everything.
How much does she make?
This is like.
What is her address?
This is like going on a date where I've over-Googled, and then I have to pretend I don't know.
Like every date you've ever been on?
Yes.
By the way, we're going to tell the fork story by the end of the night.
No names with that. Anyway, so you opened the restaurant, and when did you know? Because for me, I even if I'm not hungry, if I'm walking by Squirrel, I'll go in and eat if the line isn't that long, but the line's always long. When did you know you had a big hit on your hands? When did the line start? Or maybe they started right from the get-go, and what do you think that was?
No, I mean, when we opened our doors the first day, we made $800, and we all looked at ourselves like we had won the lottery. And we're like, we did it, guys. Like, we did it. And I think we all start whatever we do because we have this idea about something we want to create in this world. Mm-hmm. And we just want to give that a chance. I would say when Bon Appetit in 2014, when they did a pretty big spread on us, we blew up. At that point, that was kind of like when the pin dropped, and it was just it's been really like evolving ever since. And it was like a big eye opener to us that like we actually had to grow up, that we had to figure out how to make it sustainable and to develop something that had legs for long term, that it was real, that we were going to be here for a while, and that it was like truly something that was a marker of creativity and success, not only for me but for my chefs, for the team around me to grow and evolve themselves.
And if Squirrel is the Cheers of Virgil Village, what's the new restaurant going to be of Sawtelle?
What's the Fraser?
Like the Wings?
Dude, oh my God, Wings. I know, Wings.
I struck a nerve with Wings.
You
Someone's
really
a
did.
Fan.
You did. I grew up watching Wings.
What's the
Wings.
Evening Shade?
What is that?
Anyone else here?
You
this
are.
Part of the NBC lineup on Thursday nights.
Wasn't that great?
I'm with you. Wings, I think we peaked with Wings.
Yeah.
I mean, Fresh
Wings.
Prince of Bel-Air, like TGIF, Steve Urkel. I don't know. Like that's
yeah.
it. Like
who's the Steve Urkel of the Los Angeles food scene?
Steve Urkel. He is. Yeah.
My Twitter.
He is. He's a huge food person.
Is he really?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Jamil White is like a huge. Like he has his own show on Food Network. You should have him on. Actually,
I think he's on a sitcom. He's on a new show. I think. I don't know. That's all I know. But I don't know what it is.
Oh, now isn't Kiernan Shipka a big regular Squirrel? If I know
is.
From her Instagram, and I'm a huge Mad Men fan.
She is, yeah.
Well, John Hamm's a fan also. He's a friend of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a fan of John Hamm.
How often does Kiernan Shipka go in there? Like every day?
She is like a couple times a week when she's in town.
Ooh. And what's her address?
I don't know, guys. I'm sorry.
But I want to hear more about the new place. How did it happen? Walk us through it. What's the idea behind it? Mm-hmm. Everything.
You know, I think restaurateurs or chefs, they get kind of lured by a lot of different opportunities, and most of them just suck. Most of them are, you know, there's a lot of grubby hands behind it. And so I've steered. I haven't necessarily felt like I needed to evolve unless it felt right. So I took my time. It's been 5 years since I've opened Squirrel, and this woman approached me. Her name's Allison. I'm not gonna tell you her address.
That would sound like creeps.
I know, she's so great though. And she approached me and she said, look, I have this property, it's on the west side. I have this idea and I'd really like for you to think about it. And I was like, no way. Like, I really love driving to the restaurant. I love being a part of the neighborhood. And then as I started to think about it, I was like, you know, I'm making food that is really kind of changing the landscape of LA. It's also engaging the chefs. I'm sorry, not only engaging the chefs in the neighborhood, but the farmers at the market. And I... What did you just do?
Oh, sorry, I was just testing the on-air. I think we have was that speaker on?
Oh, wow.
Sorry,
that was like
that.
Straight echo. I felt like Drake or something.
I thought you needed a little reverb.
That's okay. This is Screeching Halt with Duncan Birmingham. our guest tonight is Jessica Koslow. Koslow, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, pretty good.
That you remembered the guest name. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pat
pretty
on the
good.
Back.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Before I just blew that up.
No, you didn't. But anyway, I met this woman. She lured me in. I was very hesitant, and then it worked out. It took about a year for us to negotiate like what it felt like, and then now I'm in it. I'm in the throes.
And for the new place, for the people tweeting at me, I'm getting a lot of.
Oh yeah,
it's
buzzing. I hear it.
Why don't you talk right into that microphone there?
Dunk's
Jamie.
Place, lots of stuff, but this none of this stuff makes sense because I don't think they know the vibe of the restaurant. So if you give us the vibe, I think the listeners will.
No one suggested Dunk's Place.
I see
Dunk's Place has been retweeted many times. A possible new name for your restaurant.
Yeah. So, what is the vibe?
What is the vibe of the place, and what's the vibe you want to be to get across with the name?
I don't know that I can talk. It's like so ethereal at this moment. The food is, again, like very a fresh take on California food, but it is kind of rooted in like the Jewish diaspora. So whether it's Middle Eastern, Israeli versus like Eastern European. So if you imagine like Russ and Daughters and Taim had a baby and
Are you Jewish?
Have you seen this? I'm pointing
this
at my
radio.
I'm looking at my schnoz, right? I'm pointing at my schnoz. Yes, I actually took one of those 23andMe tests because I was like, what's going on? And it turns out that I'm 97.9% Ashkenazi.
That's which amazing.
It just came back and said Jewish. That was the only word on the
page. It was that and that I have like short muscles, which also like I'm a short person. So I'm like muscly but not lanky, you know.
For the listeners that don't know, and me, what is the 23andMe test? Or is it just me?
Oh,
it's a genetic testing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So you get your dog tested and you get yourself tested?
Yeah, I bought a dog test for my friends. Because I thought it was so interesting. I found out I was like 1% Scandinavian and 2% Middle Eastern.
Really,
I'm like, what does that mean?
You should put your DNA in your dog's test and see what comes back.
I'm really hopeful that somehow I play a part in.
There are like organizations that like fund racists to do these tests, and they like show them that they're, you know, it's all a diverse melting pot. Anyway, back on subject.
I don't know.
Let me ask you a question, Jessica. This might be kind of a dumb one, but you guys have amazing bread. You guys are doing amazing things with bread at the restaurant at Squirrel. I mean, obviously, you know, you started from a place of jams and jellies. Where do you guys get your bread from?
We get our bread from, three places. We have a breakfast sandwich, and we make our own bread for that. So there's a plug.
Fancy.
Get the Mosca. We make it. The brioche, so anything that comes on brioche, ricotta toast, that comes from Farm Shop. We've, like, developed a specific style of bread, and they only make it for us. And then we also get baguettes and country from Clark Street, which is one of very few fermented Levain bread makers in LA. It's Clark Street, it's Justa, and it's Lodge. And Clark Street's nearby, and we love them and we support them.
So it sounds like LA's got some amazing bakeries going on, huh?
I mean, it's really developed in the last, like, just couple years, like, not even 5 years. Like, you're starting to see a real change in the quality of product that's available in LA, which is weird, right? Like, we should have had this long ago.
This city's been around for a while, right? So the question then is sort of like awkwardly stumbling towards, and Duncan and Franklin, if you guys got an answer for this, you want to throw in too. You know, speaking of bread, other than Squirrel, who do you think has the best sandwich in all of Los Angeles?
Don't answer that.
You're saying so. Don't answer that, or you're saying you won't answer that.
No, I already have an answer for that.
Oh, you have one.
Yeah, I have an answer.
Yeah. I have an answer for sure. Go ahead. You guys all, I know what your answer is going to be because you live in Frogtown.
No, I'm not going to say wax paper. Wax paper is a great veggie sandwich. I'm a meat eater, though.
See, all the sandwiches I'm thinking of aren't particularly bread dependent. Like, I'm like, I love the Cuban, the Cafe Tropical. Oh, I'll tell you where I had a great bread. Strada. Downtown, it's right by, what's the Bukowski bar?
Downtown?
Yeah.
Oh. No,
Henry's?
This is called Strahanks and Remember with Duncan
Guys,
Franklin.
The best